You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The world outside your window may not be great, but what if everything was super? Well, that's the case here on Post Show Recap, specifically on the Everything is Super podcast, your one-stop shop for all things super heroic. I'm Josh Wigler, and I'm joined here by a man who is constantly wondering, what if I won? Is a thing that is always on Kevin Mahadeo's mind. Kevin, how you doing?
Pretty good. Listen, here's the thing. If Ultron's entire goal is to just have everyone in the universe to just shut up, I'm in on the goal, right?
I may be team Ultron. If that's the goal.
His entire thing is just like, I just want silence. And I'm like, yes.
It's like, oh,
I agree.
It's that great bit from, if you've seen Bo Burnham's Inside,
yep.
Where he does that one moment where he's like, what if anyone could just shut the F up for an hour? Could anyone just shut up? And that is like Ultron's whole thing here in What If Ultron Won, penultimate episode of What If Season 1. We are going to be talking all about that on this week's episode of the podcast. We're also going to be talking about Venom, because Venom is having a moment. We delayed talking about Venom about a year ago when Kevin and I did Everything as Spider-Man. We can delay no further. Venom is happening. Venom 2 is out. Venom 2 is smashing.
Venom is happening. There has been carnage.
Yes. Carnage has been let loose, and big box office, I believe, for Venom 2 already as we are recording this. I'm seeing Venom 2 tonight. And today we will like just talk about the Venom movie a little bit, the first one. Talk about just like general Venomish things. And next week we will do a bigger Venom 2 spoiler podcast as part of our What If finale coverage. So that's what's on deck for today. Sadly, Kevin and I are obviously, we're a couple days late with the podcast this week, schedules and all of that. And even more sadly, Kevin and I are not in person. It's just not the same.
We're back.
It's just not the same.
Back to screens.
Just not the same, Kevin. I miss you. How was your trip, though? The rest of your trip, it was good?
Oh, it was great. We had a great time. I ate so many lobsters. It was delicious. which is not like, it's a bizarre joke that is applicable to the first Venom movie right now, but like also reality. I ate a lot of lobsters, but they were cooked. So that's a big difference between me and Eddie Brock, apparently.
That is the only difference between you and Eddie Brock, as far as I am concerned. So before we get into the podcast today, I want to give you a quick reminder. It is very early in October of 2021, the birthday month of the Post Show Recaps Patreon program, which we plug all of the time. It's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. But in addition to the fact that we're celebrating all month long, there's some additional reasons to let you know what's going on with the Post Show Recaps Patreon program that I think you're going to want to hear. We talk about the Discord all the time. It's our big, sprawling community where you can meet fellow TV and movie fans, talk about comics, talk about snacks, talk about your life, meet all sorts of people who are going to become your fast internet friends over on the Discord. And that's at the $10 level, $10 a month. for post-show recaps on Patreon. For the month of October, we are opening up the Discord to $5 patrons in a program that we are calling the Campus Tour, where you're getting to check out some of the Discord. You get to play casino games. You get to talk about your favorite shows. It's been really, really, really fun. We've gotten to meet a ton of really fun new people through the Campus Tour program already. I could not be happier about all of that. We'd love that to be you. It's $5 a month. If you want to show post-show recaps a little bit of love because it's the birthday month and, oh my God, I can't believe we're still doing this thing, $5 will go a long way for us for sure. And you could cut it off after a month if you don't like it. And the other thing you'll get in addition to the exclusive podcasts that you get as a patron of post-show recaps, you're also now at that $5 level getting to hang out in the Discord with tons of people. We've got a whole mess of people in there and they're all incredible. So we really think you would enjoy that. It's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You sign up at the $5 level, you'll get a welcome message automatically from Patreon, and it will include a link to join the Discord and take that campus tour. I'm very, very available in there. Kevin is in there as well.
I know. People added me with positive comments. And I
it's weird. I know. You're not used to that, Kevin. So we wanted to let you know that that is a thing, that that is a thing that you could do. We would love to have you on board for that. So consider it. It's the campus tour. We're having a blast. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Thursday night this coming week at 8 p.m. Eastern in the Campus Tour, we're going to be watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I have never seen before.
What?
Yeah.
You have to know the music at the very least, right?
A little bit. Not a ton. Let's do the time warp again, I know, but that's about it.
Do you know about a particular famous singer who shows up in this movie?
No, I know Tim Curry's in it.
Oh boy!
That's all I know. I have no idea what else is going to happen. So if you either love Rocky Horror or hate Rocky Horror, but just want to be around to witness me witnessing Rocky Horror for the first time, consider this like going to the movies or renting something online for $5 this week at Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern in the Post Show Recaps Patron Discord. We can all watch Rocky Horror together. You can witness me spiral out, probably, is what's about to happen. And then you get to stick around for the rest of the month, at the very least, if you don't continue on, or you can continue on because, like, hey, oh, this is really just as cool as they all said, which is to say, very, very cool. So consider patreon.com/postshowrecaps.
It's funny, when we started, like, last year, right? Like, we had the Patreon to kick off, and since then, there's just been a ton more, especially, like, for just podcasts alone. Like when we started off, we were like, oh, maybe we can do some extra podcasts. And now like the internet, podcasts are forever. So we have this like back catalog for me, especially where I was just like, I'm going to do a Mighty Ducks podcast. Yeah. And like, you have all that available, the Mighty Ducks stuff. And right now, you know, we have quite a few episodes at this point of YA, the YA podcast in the belt for Twilight. I know that's not some people's jams. We just did the entire Hunger Games series. And I think we announced for YA, we're turning October into we're doing some young adultish horror movies. So I'm really pumped about that. I think it's like
it's the spooky
the perfect
season.
Time, right? It's the spooky season, a perfect time to sign because like we have such a back catalog of stuff. We have this Discord campus tour. We have a lot going on. So it really is like the time to jump on in.
And there's other tiers that you can sign up at. We've got a sticker of the month club at the $15 level with some really, really fun plans for that. We've introduced a new $25 tier where you're going to get really great merch, including a Wigglers Wombats t-shirt. The first of its kind is at that $25 tier. But you got to be at that level for 3 months. That's obviously really, really steep for a lot of people. So you're getting a really great deal, I think, if you sign up at that $5 level this month. I know I should probably be pushing the higher tiered stuff, but just like very genuinely, like at that $5 level, you're getting access to my favorite place on the internet, the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord. And the campus tour has just been an utter delight. So we would really love to see you in there. Consider signing up. Think you're really going to enjoy it. There is that back catalog that Kevin is talking about with tons of podcasts that you're going to have at your fingertips once you sign up at that $5 level. You'll have the Discord. We've got a casino in there, and it's a very easy game to play, and it's really stupid and fun. We're going to have AMAs in there as well. We've already done live watching of movies. Kevin, I was thinking about you as Emily Fox and I on Friday night. We're watching The Happening in there.
Yes, I love that movie.
What's the line that you... No!
What? No!
What? Yeah, that's your favorite line.
You're
going to
kill me,
that.
Aren't you?
What? No! So we watched The Happening the other night. So all sorts of really fun stuff happens in there. And it's like very informal, very loose, very personal. So we're inviting you to come join all of those shenanigans. $5 a month. Just take a $5 ticket for the month of October and see what you think. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We're going to talk about What If in just a second. First, we're going to throw it to our sponsors for this episode of Post Show Recaps, and then we will be right back.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, we're right back.
The Scream reference? I feel like that was a Scream
kind
reference.
Kind of a Scream reference, I guess. Kevin, in this episode of Marvel's What If, Ultron takes over the universe.
Correct.
It's a lot.
It's an interesting episode.
Some people really loved it, I think. Some people like adored this episode of
There's a lot of cool stuff. I think it's something that is trying to bridge the What If series together, like very clearly our prediction about where things are going seemed to be accurate, to say the least. My feelings about that are pretty much the same, but we'll see how it plays out. It's interesting that the main reason for me that I enjoyed this episode, because at first where I was just like, man, we're just going to get Black Widow and Hawkeye. All right, I guess that's fine. But Hawkeye finally bites it and I'm totally happy with that.
Yeah.
Like, just for once, he's the one that actually goes. So like,
was it enough to make up for Endgame? I don't know.
Endgame's Age of Ultron itself. I don't know. That's interesting. A discussion and probably not, but it was good to see. I actually like that shot too, right? Where he's falling back, or like falling down and shooting them with the arrow. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
The action beats were fun, but it was a weird episode because it was the first episode that felt not like a full episode, right? Because this one ends in a cliffhanger, more so than the previous ones, because you know there's going to be a resolution.
Yeah.
So that was a bit different and that was a bit weird compared to the previous ones. Like, we actually have like a serialized episode here.
We talked about this. Is this something we would want? Specifically, I think, is this something that you would be okay with, Kevin? Is the idea that like What If was clearly like building towards something a little bit more unified, or maybe not even like clearly, but like a feeling that maybe the season is building towards something a little more unified, and this episode confirms that, right? That like where, you know, Uatu is much more of a character and not just a narrator in this episode. He's really like the protagonist. Is that, would you say that's a fair way to describe Uatu?
Certainly
in this episode?
Out of everyone else, he's probably the protagonist of the series.
Yeah, of this episode though, specifically.
Oh, for the episode, for sure.
Because
more so than the others. Yeah.
He's like, to call him the hero, I think would be a different thing, because there's the argument that Uatu, and it's less of an argument and more of like, Uatu screwed this up, right? Like he opens this door so that this super Ultron is able to access the multiverse.
Yeah, if he just shut up for a moment,
for a minute,
Ultron wouldn't have heard him narrating in the background.
Could any one watcher just shut the F up for an hour, for a day, for an hour? Be amazing. Yeah,
if he hadn't done that, right, Ultron wouldn't have turned around. I will say this, there's there's questions that I have, because the ending of the previous episode had Ultron showing up in the Thor world and Uatu being like, wait, what's happening here? But then this episode gives no context of when, how, and why that would have happened.
Right.
So, like, that was confusing. That was a bit like, how I don't understand how this all ties together.
Right.
And maybe Marvel does it. And honestly, a lot of this series is just roll with the punches. Like, that's the point, right? Like, if you are going to accept that T'Challa talked Thanos out of his plan, right, you got to accept a lot of the other crazy stuff happening.
Such as Thanos with 5 out of the 6 Infinity Stones.
Just getting blasted by the Vision.
Not only does he lose against an Ultron with just the Mind Stone, but loses without raising so much as raising an eyebrow. Yeah, he just gets split in half.
Which, like, why didn't Vision do that?
you love this. The Worf effect.
The Worf effect, yeah.
Describe that for people who have not been with us from the very beginning. It's been a minute since you and I talked about the Worf effect.
I know.
But the Worf effect was on full display in this episode of What
Absolutely.
If.
So the Worf effect is essentially from, I believe, like, it existed before, but you can definitely find it on TV Tropes, where the idea is that Worf is supposed to be the most badass person on the ship, right? He's a security officer, he's a Klingon, he's like a badass. But in order to show how dangerous and badass the villain is, just have him knock out Worf. And it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing happens with, like, Wolverine. How do you know someone's badass? They beat up Wolverine.
Right.
Like, it's just whatever your most badass hero character is, have the villain beat them up. Unfortunately, that happens constantly, and the Worf effect is just, like, Worf gets beat up all the time.
Yeah.
So it just becomes this, like, weird thing. So, yeah, just have Thanos just get blasted in, like, not even half a second, less than half a second, and he's done. And it's just like, whoa, this Ultron Vision, like, pretty dangerous. This is the biggest threat. And, of course, you have him punching the Watcher later, so that's something.
Yeah, so when he split Thanos in half, when Thanos shows up with 5 out of 6 Infinity Stones, I think that, like, the intended reaction is supposed to be like, oh, damn. And for me, my reaction was more like, ah, come on. Like, this should have been a fight. Like, Ultron shouldn't have just been able to say the word fascinating and then just, like, split him in twain, you know? He split Thanos' arrow in twain! Like, he shouldn't have been able to do that, I don't think. But it's whatever. It's for effect. It was a fun moment that I'm just being a bit of a grump about. By and large, I thought it was a fun episode. But, like, a lot of people I have seen, like, this was my favorite episode of the series. I think, like, this pretty easily is among my least favorite episodes of the series, personally, just because I thought so much else of it has been so good. And one of the things that stinks is that, for me anyway, and this is not going to affect absolutely everybody, one of the things that's been great about What If has been getting so many of the actors from the MCU reprising their roles for this, and that has not been the case across the board. They have now had Natasha in a prominent role a couple of times, and it is not Scarlett Johansson. But maybe in the future, they settled Disney and Scarlett, so who knows
maybe
what the future holds. But that James Spader is not back for Ultron. And of all the problems that existed with Age of Ultron and Ultron's portrayal in that movie, I think, like, the one thing that, like, everybody agreed on was, like, James Spader was amazing.
Yes.
It would have been great. And, like, I do not wish to besmirch the talents of one Ross Marquand, a.k.a. Aaron of The Walking Dead, a.k.a. the Red Skull in Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, who stepped in brilliantly for Hugo Weaving, who was like, I won't do it anymore. He was great as that. I just felt like this was kind of like when you go down from Robin Williams as the genie to Homer Simpson as the genie. This is coming from somebody who loves Aladdin, The Return of Jafar. I'll defend
Same.
That movie up and down every day of the week. Your only second rate is a top tier Disney villain song. But, like, it's noticeable when it's like, oh, that's not Robin Williams, that's Homer. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's not James Spader, that's somebody else. And, like, yep. It had that quality, and it's, for me, it kind of felt like, why do an Ultron episode if you can't get James Spader? How hard was this to make a deal with James Spader? It shouldn't have been this hard.
This one also had prominent characters with the other voice, right? Because it is prominently Black Widow and prominently Ultron. So like the two major characters in this episode are both not the voices we're familiar with, which like honestly, like
not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It's not. But it was like, just a bummer for me.
Yeah, and I agree there. Like, because having James Spader in that role would have been incredible. We've talked about it before. Like, it'd be so cool to have him appear just for something like this. But what I did enjoy, I will say, in a very weird way about this episode, was just Jeffrey Wright's Uatu being kind of like just, I don't know what the word is, but he's just like, oh, come on, it's right there. It's right there. You can't keep up. It's right there. Yeah. At the end with the, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but, like, just there is something to give Uatu, like, a weirdo personality that I'm, like, all about. So, like, those parts were entertaining to me. Getting a chance for Jeffrey Wright to, like, flex, I'm all for, because that man's incredible.
So, like Uatu being like, what the hell, was like, it's so weird to me, though. It was like, like, of all the characters, like, it was very, like, it was kind of goofy, but in a way that I was definitely not mad about, but a way that I could not ignore either, that, like, the Watcher, who seems, like, so stoic and obedient to the rules and of the universe and everything like that, suddenly is just like, what the hell? It was just, like, very, very bizarre to me. No doubt about it.
It was strange, but at the same time, again, just like, I'm rolling with it. Like, you know, like, this is what the series is, and I'm okay with rolling with certain punches. Speaking of the punching through the various realities, I thought was cool. It's so weird. So this is the weird thing for me, being, like, a comic book person, right? Because, like, I was talking about this with my fiance, but the punching through realities, that, like, crystalline look, and someone might correct me. I'm sure there's someone who's going to pull out some old ass issue of What If and be like, aha. But that look of, like, the realities being like this, like, looking at it through this crystal, like, prism, is something from DC Comics. This was something introduced in Infinite Crisis back in 2005, 2006. That was, like, that's how the realities were shown, and, like, there's this whole thing where, like, punching through the glass is what this guy Superboy Prime did, and, like, smashing through the realities through this glass-like structure. So it's really interesting, and this has happened many times at this point, to see Marvel continuously doing the stuff that DC is known for before DC has a chance to do it. So it's really interesting and really funny. I also have a semi-prediction of, like, what might be happening in What if they are going the way they're going, which is a bit tricky to me. If they do this thing where it's just like, oh, they join all the characters together, right? Like, consider this, right? Consider that the end of this episode, he goes and talks to Demon Doctor Strange. I don't know what Doctor Stranger.
Wikipedia calls him Strange Supreme.
Strange Supreme. He goes and asks him for help, right? And this is sort of what we were predicting, that he's going to end up gathering people from the various realities we've seen to combat Ultron, which, again, for me is not ideal. But my question then becomes, though, we know there's a season two. How do you go back from that? How do you pull back after you form a team of multiversal people?
Yeah.
It's really difficult to do. So, like, part of me is like, is this going to be the future? Is actually they're going to turn this into,
like, a team-up show?
A team-up show that's a different comic. There's a comic in Marvel called Exiles, one of my favorite comics, that features essentially characters from different realities that form a team that essentially quantum leaps their way through other realities to make right problems that are supposed to be going wrong. Other realities. So part of me is like, are they going to do that? This is also something DC does with this team called Justice Incarnate. There's precedent. But it's just like, as I'm saying this, as I'm describing this, it's not What If, it's Exiles. But also, I goddamn love Exiles. So is this a show I would want? Yeah, probably.
Hey, here's the thing is, like, I am really enjoying, I'm enjoying not just this show specifically, but I'm enjoying what Marvel Studios is doing with animation. So if, like, the solution here is something akin to, like, What If continues and then there's, like, a spinoff, like an Exile spinoff or something like that, Hell yeah. And then it's also like a way to like, you now you can bring in some X-Men and stuff that way, right? Like you can do like a lot of cool stuff with
Josh, you're gonna be excited.
You know, like that would be great. Like, cause I think like I would be down for the Captain Carter cartoon. I would be down for, you know, like a bunch of these as spin-off series would be fine. But I think like, what I'm mostly here for is like, using the animation medium more for Marvel Studios, because I think that like for the first time in a really long time, Marvel characters in animated form, I think, are like really, 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 really fun in a way that like I know a lot of comic book fans really feel this way even more than I do, that like this is like DC's medium. Like DC is the king when it comes to animated stuff, whether it's all the Bruce Timm stuff, Batman the Animated Series and JLU and all that. Or even like a lot of like the other like direct to video movies to like varying degrees, right, of quality, as I understand it. But like in like there are exceptions. I know people really like, I think it's Spectacular Spider-Man. That is like a Spider-Man cartoon that's like a generation removed from you and me, Kevin.
Correct.
You know, certainly you and I love that X-Men cartoon, and it is my dream to someday just do a series on that. But I think no one will listen to it, so we probably shouldn't do it.
Which is sad, because I would love an excuse to rewatch all of it.
People would listen to it. People would listen to it, but from like the very practical, we have to do a business standpoint. Not enough people would listen to it. It would be really, really fun to do. You know, that's aspirational stuff that maybe someday we could get there, but we're not there. But like, I think that like the fair thing is like, sure, it's like the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes show. Is that any good? Like, some people probably really, really like it.
I did actually enjoy that show. The original, there was two for whatever reason, but the one that was happening early, the first one, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, I really actually liked quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then they canceled it.
Classic. But I think the point is like, you know, Marvel hasn't had like a thing that like you could really like necessarily like put on that same level as like, whether it's like the DC shows I mentioned before, or like Batman Beyond, or even like Young Justice, like there's just
Young
like
Justice, especially,
you know, like there's a lot of stuff out there that like, I think because the live action stuff has been so hit or miss, like you either get like a really great DC movie, or you tend to get like, you know, like a pretty crappy DC movie, and then like a mess of mediocres in between. And like the ratio on all of that is heavily skewed towards, I think, like the mediocres to crappy. For my tastes anyway, that I think like animation has been like the supreme medium for DC, and Marvel just hasn't really gone there because they've just been crushing live action, and now they're going there. And I think that they aren't doing like a perfect job, but I think that they're doing a really good job, and I would love to see them explore it more, especially as they're about to expand the universe with like new cast. Like we'll have like Tatiana Maslany as She-Hulk pretty soon, Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight, Mahershala Ali as Blade. Like there's all of these different people who are coming in that you'll be able to like populate some of these shows with. Like that shit sounds really, really cool to me, to like do some like spinoffs, like featuring these characters in these ways. And I want to see more What If. I want to see like whatever this crossover event What If seems to be building towards. But I do think that you raise, to come back to it, a really good point of like, How do you come back? Like, how do you come, like, the answer to me is like Uatu assembling a bunch of people and like assigning them like a role in like watching the multiverse. And so those are characters that you follow through some sort of show itself. But if that's like What If season two, as opposed to its own show, I'm gonna be sad. Because what I like about What If is that like these episodes have for the most part felt like films. This was an episode that felt the most like an episode of television as part of like a bigger fabric of a thing, whereas the other episodes throughout the series have felt like these like short movies and have had these arcs that have felt relatively complete, even when they're kind of like incomplete, but they're like complete in their incompleteness, if that makes sense. And like, I'll be sad to lose that. And that is the thing that I think that I am feeling the most as we are like building towards like everybody against Ultron. And like, I think maybe I would be feeling a little bit differently if I was like a little more hooked into Ultron specifically in his depiction on What If. That may have been as simple as getting James Spader. If he's unavailable, Kevin, and if Ultron is putting himself into the synthetic body that becomes Vision's, why don't we just use Paul Bettany's voice?
Yeah, no, that would have been the obvious solution, I think, to the voice problem. I also think you run into,
because then
an
it becomes like so unsettling, because it's like that's like, it's, you know, I'm not going to spoil Lost, but there is like a late game twist on Lost where like an actor is like sort of like recast in a way that is like really unsettling, because you associate so much with the way that that actor played a different thing and now is playing something totally different. Like, that would have been, like, I think, been a very evocative thing of, like, oh, shit, evil Bettany. Like, I don't like that. That makes me nervous. I'm very scared all of a sudden. If you can't get Spader, use what you got, I think.
I agree. I think the also problem for me is the usage of Ultron as this big bad, because it's Ultron, who is a villain that, like, is from a movie that is not beloved specifically. I think people like the only reason people like Ultron is because of James Spader's voice. No one gives a crap about Ultron, who watches the MCU mostly, as a villain, right? Because his motivation is sort of like nothing. I mean, as much as I joked, like, oh, I get it, I don't even know if that was his motivation in the original movie. It's just get everyone to shut up for a moment. But, like, I know in the comics, Ultron is a much different character. But, like, I don't know. I also just never found Ultron that compelling as a villain, even in the comic book. So the fact that it's hinging on Ultron of all people versus like other villains that I think like we care a lot more about, that sort of sucks in that way. You know what I mean? Because it's like my problem with the Doctor Strange episode, where it's just like it's contingent on me caring about a romance that the movie didn't care about.
Right.
So like that's a bit like tough that this is who they're joining up against, like a sort of like whatever villain that didn't even really have a prominence in the series itself. Like, if there were other ways to showcase how dangerous Ultron could be in previous episodes with the Ultrons of their world, maybe. But, like, yeah, the building towards stuff, I don't know. I mean, at the same point, though, we might have an opportunity where that version of Killmonger shows up. I don't think it would jive. I don't think, like, maybe they will recruit him, but I don't think he fits in with a group like this to save the universe, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know how it'll all play out, and maybe it won't play out that way. Maybe it's just the doctor, you know, sorcerer or supreme strange, whatever his name is. Maybe it's just him, and like he's the one that fights Ultron, him and Uatu, and that wouldn't be so bad, and I'd be okay with that. And then we could go back to regular What If, and it wouldn't be an issue. But I'm with you, right? As much as I love the Exiles, as much as I have desperately wanted Sliders and Quantum Leap to be rebooted in some shape or form, I would really be sad if we lose regular What If to whatever that would end up being, right? Like to the Exiles.
Okay, so that's complainy complainers and stuff from us. Well, let's do the things that we like. One thing I loved was the moment that Ultron hears the Watcher. He's just there. He's alone. The universe has been like effed three ways from Sunday. And he's just like, well, what do I do now? There's nothing going. And then Nuage is like, he realized that he's thinking, what should I do now? There's nothing going. and Ultron is just like, kind of just like sitting there being like, hello? Like, excuse me? Hello?
Is someone monologuing my life?
And Watch is like, no. and Ultron's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I can hear you. There's other worlds than these. Very Dark Tower style. And I loved that moment of the wall breaking. I thought was awesome. I thought that was portrayed really, really, really well.
I mean, he essentially looked and saw the fourth wall, right? Like, that's what happened. He turned around and he's just like, hey, there's a wall there. Weird. And then he literally broke through it later. All that stuff was cool, right? Like, I like all that stuff. I mentioned, like, the punching through realities I thought was really awesome. The fight was interesting, to say the least. To see the Watcher throwing down, I thought was great. It, again, like, makes it so weird about, like, what Ultron's power levels are. I guess he's got all the Infinity Stones. But, like, yeah, it was interesting to see all that stuff. The action has always been pretty great on the series, and I think that is held true here, even for the Black Widow stuff and Hawkeye stuff. Speaking of things we love, can we talk about Armin Zola? Because love that. I loved it. I thought that was so fun.
Was that Toby Jones doing
it? Yes, it was Toby Jones. I checked the credits. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely. Yeah, I feel like, one thing that I love about that is this is post Age of Ultron, right? And so in post Age of Ultron, which is post Winter Soldier, Armin Zola still exists. So this is like a good tip off that, like, Arnim Zola, computer Arnim Zola in Winter Soldier, is not gone from the MCU necessarily. Like, right. Arnim Zola could come back. I would love to see Arnim Zola come back in live action. Like, they're doing the Sam Wilson Captain America movie. Bring in Arnim Zola in some role. Like, that would be great.
In the body that he's normally in. I want his little, like, little robot face.
Show me
and
that.
Everything.
Yeah, I want that. I need that. Agreed. You know, I want my beard. I want that. That would be great. Or Arnim Zola in Armor Wars. Arnim Zola in Armor Wars coming up on Disney Plus could be fun. Arnim Wars. That would be good.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot that could be set up, especially from some of the implications we have for here.
Although none of that worked, right? Like, Uatu was like, "It's over here. They're going to that file," and they like do it, and they get Arnim Zola, and they like upload him. But Ultron's like, "Nah, bros, I'm in the multiverse now. I don't even care.
Not even there." Which is that's rough. I do also love that they were so untrustworthy of him. Understandably, that they shot his legs out, and then because they did that is where they had to carry him. They really did almost die because of their own hubris, right? Like that, like Hawkeye wouldn't have died if they hadn't shot out Ultron's legs, because he could have, or Arnim Zola Tron's legs, because he could have run.
Arnim Zola Ultron. Wow, that is so hard to say.
It is hard to say.
Wow.
I also for a hot second thought that what was going to happen was that the one that crosses over through the different universes wasn't going to be Ultron. I thought they were setting it up that Zola was going to upload into the Ultron system and he was going to be the one to conquer the multiverse, because it is a very Hydra thing to spread its reach, right?
Right.
So I thought that was going to be the twist, is that they upload Zola to be like, we solved Ultron. It's like, oh, we made it worse.
Yeah.
Which I thought, at least I think for me, would have been a little more interesting than just like, it's me, Ultron. And you're like, oh, all right. Yeah. At least Hydra is a villain that we sort of like know more about.
Can I know a little off track, but can I... make something that is somewhere in the realm between prediction and hope, like a desire.
I don't like hope, so I don't want you to... No, I'm kidding, of course. Go for it. Unless it involves Hope Van Dyne, which would be funny.
She's already been so involved in all of this. I want to call it a prediction in case I get it, because I'll feel great and smart. but I don't think it'll happen, but it's what I would love to see. Is like, with the fourth wall breaking that's happening right now, and with the increased importance of Uatu in the show, we have to also discuss like Super Saiyan Uatu and just like all of like his incredible powers, like watching Yoda fight for the first time.
Yeah.
That because he is like the main character introduced in this show that has not yet appeared in live action in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I would love for, if it's the ending of this season of What If, or if it happens at some point in this season of What If, for there to be like a live action moment where like the wall gets broken down to a live action degree that we see like a flesh and blood Jeffrey Wright as Uatu moment. That is something that I think would be like outstandingly rad and cool.
I mean, I think I remember us talking about what our predictions might be for the end of the series. And I remember you mentioning something about that, right? Like that we could maybe go to live action and we'll see like Doctor Strange or something. I don't know what it's going to end up being now, because like now it's a whole other ball game with this like possible multiversal crossover. But it would be interesting to see Jeffrey Wright in that, because Uatu just has a very specific look about him, though. Like, I don't know if you could just have Jeffrey Wright as that. It has to be somewhat CG fully, right? Like, it just can't be Jeffrey Wright in a robe. Like, I just don't think that will work for me, I guess.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I don't know. You turned, like, Peter Dinklage into, like, the giant Star Dwarf. You know, like, can we not
Can
we not turn, like, Jeffrey Wright into, like, some sort of big-headed alien that looks awesome?
I mean, that would be dope. I would love to see, like, it is still animated because it's obviously CG, but I would love to see the live action quote unquote version of Uatu with his big old head.
Yeah.
Like that would be fantastic. I'd be so into that.
Well, he's gotta be a live action version of what they've illustrated. You know? Like he's gotta look like how he looks on the show to a certain extent. So like that's what they would have to do. But like I wanna see Uatu feel like so unsettled by everything that's happened that he's like, I'm no longer safe in my world. And then he like cracks through the TV screen and it's like Jeffrey Wright watching. He goes, I have to come to yours. And that's like the end of the season.
I mean, that would be, if only we had like 3D tech that we could actually install into every TV to have that moment.
Oh my God. We could all use a hug from Jeffrey Wright as Uatu. Still. So that would be cool. Did you like the Attack of the Clones unification of Uatu? How did you feel about all that?
Yeah, that's fine for me. It worked.
Have we seen him fight in the comics before? Does he do that ever?
Someone's gonna say like, "Oh, totally," and whatever. But like, from my recollection, I haven't seen it. Like, nothing that I have read has shown Uatu like fighting. And so this was interesting to see. Like, oh man, wait, did he fight in Infinity Gauntlet? No, I don't think so.
Right.
But like, that was very fascinating, especially because you're right though. It was a very Super Saiyan moment because he almost like did the flex and then it's just like boom, and then just armor and everything is on him. I like the idea of showing that like the Watcher is powerful. It almost makes me wish that he was a little more powerful, you know? It's weird to think of just, again, Ultra. That's the most powerful being in the multiverse.
Sure.
But I liked him just like, yeah, them just like punching their way through the realities, him like shooting Kamehameha blasts everywhere. I was into it. I did not dislike it. You know, I didn't hate it, I guess is the best way to say that.
Why of everybody does he go to Strange Supreme by the end of this thing?
Well, Strange Supreme, I think, is also someone whose power was so extreme that he destroyed the universe, right?
Right.
Like, you have a universe destroyer who's trying to go into the multiverse. You need
and
to bring
who
another
felt remorse about
in.
It seemed like.
Yes.
In, like, his final moments. Like,
well, he's had to live with his decisions for what appeared to be quite some time.
Yeah.
So, certainly, I feel like he has come around. And at the ending of that episode, even, we saw his regret. So I think this is a very, very powerful version of Doctor Strange who is still there as Doctor Strange, right? Like, he's not the villain that we saw in that episode.
Yeah.
So I think it is possible that this is a person who could stand against someone like this Ultron. Someone who isn't just a regular Doctor Strange who would have no chance, but like one of the most powerful beings in the galaxy. I think it tracks to me, you know?
Yeah. So what's the plan? He's going to Strange Supreme, and what? Like, you have to help me assemble a crew. Is this going to be? Are we going to get like an Ocean's 11 montage?
See, like, I don't know. I mean, it feels like that's the way that we've been predicting it's going. But now that I said it, I kind of hope that it's just him. Like, it is just the power of this Strange Supreme who's able to like take on Ultron. Because like, I don't know, man. Like, that's the other thing. Like, there's so many of those realities we love. And like in these things, like maybe nothing would happen. But like if they pull Captain Carter, if they pull that Killmonger, if they pull Star-Lord T'Challa, like if they pull all these cool characters we like and one of them dies, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's just like that's it for that universe. Like, or not even that's it. Like, the universe is not going to die. But like certainly like the repercussions of like a character like that dying, it'd be extreme. It would suck a lot. So like that's my fear about like what might happen. But yeah, I don't know. I could see it going two ways. I could see it honestly just being the Strange Supreme taking on Ultron, or I could see like, yeah, the montage of gathering people together to go fight Ultron. I don't know how they do it without Ultron noticing. You think that he would be paying attention to the fact that this
right,
is happening and do right. something about it? So like that's a bit tricky. Because I think like when Uatu went into that prism that Strange was encased in, it was like a hideout. Like Ultron couldn't see that because Ultron didn't realize where he went. So I feel like that was like a safe zone. So how they pull off going to the other universes without Ultron noticing is going to be a question, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder about that as well. When they were fighting across the multiverse, I didn't clock all of the different places they went. There was one where Steve Rogers was president, it looked like.
Yes. I don't think we got enough of a glimpse of each of them to like really designate like, oh, this is where this is. But the one we did get is where they show up in Times Square and Steve Rogers is being sworn in as president. So you have like President Captain America, I guess, or President America. What would that be? Because I mean, like Captain is a designation. So like maybe President America.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Because POTUS is just like too. It's been used, you know.
Yeah.
So gotta make it his own thing. I didn't clock this myself, but the internet did, that apparently there was a Star Wars crossover, that one of the places that they fight in, it looks to be Mustafar, where Obi-Wan and Anakin have their big battle that, you know, the higher ground
the,
and all.
The
that.
Volcano planet. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it was exactly that or if it just looked like that, but that's pretty.
That's very funny.
I want to read a little bit of feedback really quickly on this before we start talking Venom. Topher wrote in and said, I really wish we would have had James Spader. The episode was fun and cool, and I was on the edge of my seat, though. I've decided that I'm going to not apply any sort of logic to the multiverse so that I can just enjoy the ride. My theory is, that Doctor Strange wins against Ultron and then restores everything back to normal, and the What If series can carry on into season two. So Topher with the prediction for a happy ending next week.
I mean, I'd be down for a happy ending.
Some
I'd be
strange
fine with that,
yeah. Redemption, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yes. Ryan says, I'm not sure how to feel about this episode. It was very cool, but I disagree with the decision to tie it all together. And why did we get a totally different moment of the Watcher being surprised than we got last week? Seems sloppy. I was thinking that too. Like, he seems really surprised when he sees him cross over into the date between Thor and Jane.
That's what I was saying. The context doesn't make any sense for that, but you just got to roll with it, I guess.
Ryan continues. Ryan says, so Ultron easily destroyed 5-stone Thanos with just the Mind Stone beam. So Vision could have done the same thing instead of being a martyr?
Yeah, right? That's what we were saying. Like, just come on, Vision. After all that you went through, that whole thing, you could have just done that. It would have saved us all a lot of trouble.
Desharn writes, hells yes, what an episode. I know having these be connected is not ideal to some, but I enjoyed this immensely. We see what an age of Ultron would have been like, unlike what Avengers 2 promised us, which was a week of Ultron. I remember reading the comic and having the feeling of utter dread at the hands of Ultron, and this takes it to that whole other level. Did you ever read the comic book Age of Ultron, which is a very different thing and predates Avengers Age of Ultron?
No, because I think it was during that period when that happened was when I wasn't really,
really deep into superhero comics. Yeah,
I kind of vaguely remember reading some pieces of it, if it's the one I think. But no, it didn't last in my memory, unfortunately.
Riley says, this episode was all right. The writing for Ultron, the story for Ultron was way better here than the movie, but the lack of James Spader hurts. He was such a wonderful casting story, and I wish we could have seen him in a story worthy of him. Yeah, we totally are on the same page as this. This is from Torby. Torby says, the Black Widow Hawkeye Zola stuff was fun, and the Uatu versus Ultron was phenomenal. I'm extremely excited for the finale next week, where I'm anticipating a full spectacle final battle of Ultron against Uatu and the previous 8-episode protagonists. For me, as long as a multiverse has at least some semblance of explanation, and the MCU already does, in my opinion, and is used in the most creative storytelling manner, I'm wildly satisfied. The next number of years are going to be a blast. That is Torby's super optimistic take.
I can agree with that ending part for sure, right? Mm-hmm. I do think the next couple of years are going to be a blast. I think we're in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Anything else from What If Ultron 1, Kevin?
No, I think that hits everything. Like, I agree. Like, the pieces that I really like, I think, were the Black Widow, Hawkeye, Armin Zola stuff a lot. And I thought the fight was cool. I'm just, it's weird because, like I said, it's the first one that's difficult to talk about as a whole because we didn't get the whole. We only got half. So we'll see how it all comes together at the end. I hope they stick to landing because this has been a problem for me for, I think, most of the Marvel TV shows is that the endings didn't stick. Like, they didn't stick the landings for me. So hopefully they'll do it here.
Yeah. I'm trying to live my life more optimistically these days, Kevin.
Wow. Just
I'm trying to
Kamehameha's fired.
No, it's got nothing to do with you. This is a personal choice. I give off a certain air of joviality, but I've got a lot of anger inside. And I'm trying to let some of that go. I'm trying not to be a pessimist, Kevin. And in the spirit of that, I am fighting what's actually inside me.
Oh boy, here
and
we go.
I'm going to say that next week's finale is going to be completely satisfying and great. And that I'm not at all a little bit concerned that it's going to be a little flat and rushed and disappointing. I think it's going to be great.
I'm excited to see. That's all I'll say. I think I've liked the series a lot so far. I wanted
loved
to
it.
Have
loved
a phenomenal,
it.
You know, finale. I don't think for me in this particular case, unlike with the other shows, which are so serialized, I think I'm still going to enjoy this because even if the finale doesn't stick, because so much of the previous episodes were independent and were amazing. So, like, I think ultimately, no matter how this goes at the end, I think it's still going to rank as my favorite of the Marvel TV shows.
Yeah.
Or the Disney Plus shows at the very least.
But what if in the end of What If season one, they unmask Iron Man 2 Kid officially as Spider-Man?
Okay, well, then that would
be... How will you feel when we get there?
I mean, that would be pretty awful. That would be pretty awful.
Who's going to be the MVP next week, and why is it Paul Rudd's severed head?
Because everyone loves a Paul Rudd, that's why.
Yeah, that's why. So we'll see where it all goes next week. I am genuinely excited for it. And one other thing that's hopeful, this is like an aspirational thing, is like there were supposed to be 10 episodes of What If, there's only 9. Maybe there's like a little bit of whatever was going to be in 10 they can condense in this. Hopefully it's like a little bit of a longer episode, because I think they're going to have a lot of business to take care of if they're doing crossover stuff. So I'm hoping for a longer one next week. Always welcome a longer episode. Okay, we are going to throw it to our sponsors again one last time, and then when we come back, we're talking Venom.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Kevin. It's time to talk about Venom.
Good God, that's a great impression, but
it's us, Kevin.
It is terrible.
It's us. It's you and me, Kevin. I'm so hungry, Kevin.
Feed me all the hot pockets and tater tots. I love the idea that you're somehow my Venom, and yeah. I'm not yours.
What would your Venom sound like? I think just I know me. Mine sounds a lot like this.
I think I'm not Venom.
Wanda is my symbiote.
The whole thing with Venom is that he is in conflict, right? When embracing the horror evil inside him. I'm very much closer to the Carnage, where I don't speak in we, I just am.
You just
like,
are.
I have embraced, like, yes, the symbiote and me are one and the same.
Yes.
So I feel like that's the difference, Josh.
Oh, God. Okay, so we're going to talk about...
Oh, I'm your Woody Harrelson! Yeah. Love it! Yes! Yeah. I'll
take that as well. We're talking about Venom, and we're talking, like, I guess about the franchise to a certain degree. I think that we could qualify this a little bit as a Let There Be Carnage preview. With that being said, it is likely, or it is at least pretty possible that you've already seen Let There Be Carnage. Kevin and I have not. I am, as I'm saying these words, about 7 hours away from watching it. I'm going to go to the theater, and I will join the masses that have made Venom Let There Be Carnage the highest grossing opening weekend of any movie in the pandemic. This includes Black Widow and Shang-Chi. I think, is it 100, over 100 million?
It's already the highest grossing movie in the pandemic.
Well, no, opening weekend, highest opening it's a $90.1 million haul domestically from
God,
Venom.
That's depressing.
Let There Be Carnage. And I believe it is the second biggest October opening of any movie, second only to Joker. So, like, beyond, like, pandemic stuff. The movies are back! We're back!
I guess it's just the movies that are back.
What if that's what Venom sounded like? About. We're back! It's me,
We're
Venom!
Back.
I
it's
came
here.
Back! It's
look,
happening!
Look at me! It's me, Eddie! I need some food!
Eddie, I'm hungry!
are they just becoming the Fairly Odd Parents at this point?
What if it was that? So obviously a lot of people were really excited to see Venom. So good for those people. We'll come back next week and we'll do a spoilerish talk about Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Today, our information is limited to like the preview-ish material we know about Let There Be Carnage. And of course, a plethora of comic book and ancillary mythology and the Tom Hardy starring, Ruben Fleischer directed Venom that came out in 2018, which was a short film. It was like 90 minutes.
So like, yeah, when I hit play,
and the sequel is about that long as well.
When I hit play, it said 1 hour and 52, and I was like, this is 1 hour and 52 minute movie, but the movie actually wraps in 1 hour and 36. That's the ending with Woody Harrelson, 1 hour and 36. And I was like, oh, that's a lot of post-credit stuff. Like just credits rolling. But like, thank God. Like hour and 36 is all we needed. We did not need more movie than that.
See, so I remember seeing Venom in theaters, and I wasn't really going to, because like I wasn't excited about it. Like I'm not feeling like the Sony vibe. I don't love like their creative control over everything. But I think maybe like some more allowance because Spider-Verse is out at this point. I feel like. Yes. And obviously that movie is great, and Marvel Studios has nothing to do with it. But a lot of people were like, it was so fun. Venom was amazing. I was like, really? Well, okay, I guess I'll check it out. And I went and I checked it out, and like I was expecting like a big, fun, stupid movie that like I would just like sort of like Wicker Man laugh at. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. The Happening laugh at. And I think that aspects of that exist in the movie. Tom Hardy in like a lobster tank is never not going
That's
to be ridiculous and hysterical.
In my notes, I wrote down Tom Hardy's in a lobster tank eating a live lobster. ... This movie is so dumb.
You know,
like, that part is like, yeah, like right, like
I'm never not gonna love like Venom showing up to like do CPR to Eddie Brock, and then it's like Michelle Williams, like, you know, like
make out, right?
Yeah, like that kind of like that kind of stuff, like I'm like way in on. And I think like there are some moments throughout the movie where, and like also like, what isn't Venom like, I'm a turd, Eddie, like what does he say? Like he's like,
I'm a loser,
Eddie, like, you know, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Sort of like the Rick and Morty ish vibe between Eddie and Venom. Like I love that stuff. There is way too little of it in Venom. Like, I think like when it's there, a lot of the time it's really, 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 really funny to me. It's really, really, really goofy and ridiculous. And like, it's a totally different kind of thing that like could be in a box alongside Deadpool, I guess. But not as good. But I think, they like also try to like make like, at least in the first one, I can't weigh in on the second one. Feels like they like, kind of like try to like make like an actually good movie as well, and didn't lean nearly enough into the camp. And like people were like, the camp is ridiculous. I was like, yeah, but it doesn't start until like an hour into the movie. I remember seeing this at the Alamo Draft House. The way that works when you like buy stuff, like, you know, drinks and food and things. They give you a check when there's 40 minutes left in the movie. And I remember I saw this at the Draft House, and I got my check just as Eddie and Venom were bonding for the first time. We're becoming one for the first time. I was like, mm-hmm. Holy shit. Is that where we're at in the movie right now?
Yeah.
And so like, I'm not out here with a ton of love for Venom. I got to say, like, I think like a lot of the stuff that like it does well, I think it does really, really well, but it does so little of it as far as I'm concerned.
It's one of those things where, like, for me, it is just, I don't know, it makes me feel more like a symbiote than it does make me feel like a human in these moments, right? Like, Venom made $900 million. The Joker movie made, like, $1 billion. And these are those moments I feel most disconnected from humanity, to say the least.
These are the moments?
These are the moments. Because this, like, I'm not going to talk about Joker, but, like, Venom is like the parts that work are when it's like you said, Josh, right? Like big, dumb fun. Like Tom Hardy and Venom interacting is so stupid, but so like laughably stupid in a very entertaining way. And I was entertained in those parts. And very clearly, that's the parts everyone responded to. And hence why, at least in the marketing for Let There Be Carnage, they are leaning hard into that.
As
because the
should.
Idea as of Venom and Eddie as like a dysfunctional relationship is what sells it. Like the fan art alone that exists is horrifying, but like that is a thing. So leaning more into that in the second film and playing that up could make the second movie what I could have enjoyed about the first one, right? Like just a big dumb film. It depresses me how much money it makes, but whatever. This first one though, the sin of it ultimately for me is that it's boring beyond that. the movie itself, beyond the Eddie's like goofiness, is very, very boring and also like nonsensical, right? Like, I'm not going to get into analyzing this movie. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you want to try? Do you want to give like a, do you have like a, if you were to take this movie seriously, give us a little bit of analysis that would come out from like your critical reading of the 2018, cult classic film Venom.
Sure. Okay. First off, the whole thing, like Eddie breaks into his girlfriend's email to get the information to go do this interview with this guy. What did he expect to get out of this interview? Like, you know, like when you it's a one on one. When you surprise someone with a question like that, you're not going to get an answer. He's just going to shut the interview down, which is what happened. Eddie's supposed to be a good reporter. What is he even doing? Speaking of reporting, there's a line when Jenny Slate shows up that he talks about how, like, oh, a journalist means following people and not being seen. It means hiding. What journalist are you? That is not the job of a journalist. Does anyone who worked in this movie know what a journalist actually does? Especially because, like, after this happens, the idea is, like, his show is successful. He has this web show. He has this video, right? Eddie Brock Report. That's apparently extremely successful to the point that a dude recognized him at a bar. You know how hard it is to recognize a reporter? Like,
pretty
so
hard.
To recognize a reporter at a bar means he's popular. He loses this one job, and it's like, and then he can't get hired again. Unless they imply, which maybe they are trying to without saying it, that Riz Ahmed is able to essentially blacklist him from every place permanently. He can't get a job is insane. Launch a YouTube show. Like, the internet exists at this point. You are that popular of a face. You can continue to do what you're doing, dude. Like, you would probably get monetized. Like, it's insane that, like, that part happened. Like, that's all stupid. Why did Jenny Slate even go to him?
Does Eddie Brock, do you think, have a Patreon that you could go to at the $5 level and join the Post-Show Recaps patron Discord in the month of October? If you went to patreon.com/post-show-recaps, would it redirect to Eddie Brock's Patreon in the Venom universe?
As two people who were journalists and were experts in hiding and not being seen, you and I, just existing in the shadows, I would hope that Eddie would help us patronize the Post-Show Recaps out. Yeah. Yeah, man, like, why did Jenny Slate even go to him? She could have recorded that stuff herself and then just sent it to an actual newspaper. Like, it's ridiculous. Was it Riot? Riot, right? Like,
yes.
Why did Riot take, like, 6 months just hanging out in Malaysia? Like, Riot possessed someone, and then it took 6 months before Riot got on a plane? Why? Get on the plane sooner!
My thoughts on Venom perhaps are disqualifying, because I spent so much of the movie thinking that that was, like, the Venom symbiote coming to America, was the journey that we were watching there, that's the bad symbiote. That's
Which
Riot.
Which looks so much like the regular one. Like, they didn't do a lot to distinguish them. At least with Carnage, it feels like they're doing enough to, like, make them look distinct. But, like, Riot and Venom look a lot alike.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... The movie is, like, just goofy stuff and then action beat to action beat. It honestly feels like a Michael Bay movie on steroids, and I don't mean that as a compliment, but, like, is also probably why it made a ton of money.
Yeah, Michael Bay hasn't been that funny in a long time, though. Like, the comp... like, I say in a long time because there have definitely been times in Michael Bay's movie-making career that, like, he has had, like, really funny comedy instincts.
Yeah.
In, like, the midst of, like, you know, like, some of, like, his bigger shenanigans.
For,
like,
sure.
You know, like, along the way, you know, like, why'd you bring a gun in space? You know, like, stuff like that. Like, there's, like, a lot of goofy shit across the Michael Bay catalog that just hasn't, like, been there in a positive way since probably, like, Transformers, basically.
Yeah, the first one at the very least. But, but the parts that work in this movie that I, again, from the trailers for the second scene that they're playing up, is the Eddie and Venom stuff, as stupid as it is, as goofy as it is, like, for what they're trying to do, it works for me, you know? The fact that Tom Hardy is the one who does the voice of Venom. I read that he actually pre-recorded all his Venom stuff and would listen in the earpiece, so that way his interactions felt more genuine because he was actually responding to the stuff he already said. I think it's very smart and clever. His interactions with Michelle Williams and Dan from Veep, who also plays a character named Dan in this, I thought was really great. I like that actor a lot. I find him very funny. And even though he wasn't meant to be a comedic actor in this, I did think his interactions with Eddie was also very humorous. So there's, like, all those parts work well for me. Like, all that stuff. Like, I think that's the key of it, is, like, this weird dysfunctional relationship between these people. I did not care about Riz Ahmed as a villain. The Riot stuff was meaningless. the ending was so dumb where he was just like, I now care about people. And that's another reason why I just don't like Venom in this capacity. Like every time they do something like this, where it's just like, we're going to take a villain and make him good, kind of. You're just like, then you sort of miss why that villain's cool. He's also eating people. Like he eats that guy at the end. What are you trying to accomplish anyway? But nothing is the answer. But
that's why you can't take, like, you can't, it can't be a movie where you're taking it seriously. You know, like, the movie can't take itself seriously right. If it's going to succeed at all, because, like, Venom's going to eat people, as he correct. Should.
As he should.
By the
that's
way.
That's what Venom is.
Listen, you can make a movie like Venom where, like, nobody is, like, a good person, but, like, can be likable in spite of themselves. Look no further than the entire TV show Succession, which we've just, we're on the precipice, at least. Depending on when you're listening to this, October 4th, our first preview show of Succession Season 3 is out on the Post Show Recaps feed, so seek that out. But, like, that's that show's entire bread and butter. It's like, all of these people are horrible, and yet sometimes you really enjoy, most of the time you really enjoy watching the show, and, like, sometimes you like these characters when you know that you shouldn't. And that's, like, part of the success of the show. And I think, like, I don't know, I don't really want to particularly like Venom. Like, I don't want to, like, walk away from this, like, with an argument of, like, I actually think that Eddie Brock and Venom might be good people. Like, I kind of want to, like, walk away from it being, like, they're trash, and I love watching them, like, sift through the garbage.
Right.
And, like, and when they lead into that, I think the movie succeeds. It just doesn't happen nearly enough.
Doesn't happen enough. Exactly. And I think that's the problem, is that there's parts of the movie where they try to make, like, a real movie and took themselves seriously and, like, some sort of, like, I don't know, trying to say something. I don't think they know what they were trying to say. But, like, those are the parts where the movie fails. When the movie is just, like, this is just big, dumb stuff with Venom and Eddie. Yeah, it succeeds. It's great. It's hilarious. It's ridiculous. And I'm all for it. So much of this movie is also just Tom Hardy making weird facial expressions and cracked me up every time. Because, like, his face acting is so funny throughout this film. Venom, I think, does look goofy as hell. I think when he's in full Venom mode, it looks really stupid. But also, Venom in the comics looks really stupid. So they kind of, like, nail that part of it. I think, like, all that stuff works, right? Like, I just wish these movies wouldn't do this thing about, like, what you're saying, where it's just like, we're trying to make Venom and Eddie, like, somewhat heroes. No, who gives a crap? Like, make them selfish a-holes. It's fine. Like, that's my problem with a lot of this stuff. Like, people end up loving villain characters, and then the comics work really hard to try to make them anti-heroes or anti-villains, and I think that's stupid. And it's just so that, you know, like, people, like, kids who are reading comics aren't just like, I love this character, he eats people. And it's just like, ooh, that's not great to, like, idolize. But yeah, just lean into it. Just go into the real dumb stuff. I'm excited because I think I am going to like Let There Be Carnage more, because, like, the 2 seconds of Woody Harrelson we got is so ridiculous. I don't know if he's wearing that same wig, but holy crap.
I hope he's wearing the same wig
because it really sets the tone of the movie we're getting into. And also, like, Woody Harrelson acting over the top is awesome. Like, I think he can crush that. So I think having Tom Hardy and Woody Harrelson on the opposite sides over, like, chewing scenery, I think is going to be spectacular. I have a lot of hope for Let There Be Carnage, because I think, at least again, from the marketing, and marketing can often lie as a person who works in that field, they really are seem to be playing up the parts that people enjoyed about the first one, and hopefully will be a lot more in the second one. If it's not that, it would really annoy me more, because it's another one of those, like, the studio learned nothing.
Right.
And they still, like, you know, did this, but,
well, learn nothing, sure, other
well,
than
when you
how
made
to
$900
get,
million dollars, like,
other
you
than
don't
how
need
to
learn
get
anything.
Butts in seats during the pandemic. So, like, regardless, like, impressive turnout for Venom 2, which obviously we can't really weigh in on, other than, yeah, it's obviously Woody Harrelson as Cletus Cassidy, aka Carnage.
What a name.
A ridiculous name that we will get to see more of in Let There Be Carnage. And this is sort of like the iconic duo. What's the over under on whether Carnage survives this movie? Do they do sort of the classic superhero movie where, like, they blow it and kill the villain off in the movie instead of, like, having the villain, like, be in a position to return?
It's really difficult to say because you have Woody Harrelson and I can't imagine he's cheap. But, like, I think they will leave the door open in some capacity that Carnage is alive and maybe it goes to bond with someone else, but, like, Cletus Cassidy is dead.
Yeah.
That's my prediction on this, right? Because, like, it's gonna be hard pressed to keep Woody Harrelson around for a long time with this type of stuff, unless we get some weird situation where this isn't, you know, this is going to reopen the Sam Raimi-verse or whatever, and, like, this is now connecting to some other stuff, then maybe Woody Harrelson will stick around, because that would actually be really interesting.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, there's, like, the Jared Leto Mobius stuff, or Morbius stuff coming. There's just so much weird crap in this Sony Spider-Man world. It's just mind-boggling. Yeah. And, yeah, again, let me clarify. Clearly, they don't need to learn anything, because they made $900 million. You really don't have to care about it. Learning anything from that. The spice must flow. Capitalism is as capitalism does, regardless of how good the product is. But, like, if, again, if you just give me, like, that's why I liked Aquaman. It's why I like Aquaman, because Aquaman is this, except more, like, goofy at times.
Yeah.
And I'm so about it. Like, I'm so about, like, give me a big, dumb superhero movie. But, like, when they try to, like, try too hard to be serious at points, and, like, I think the points in Aquaman where they try to be serious don't always work, but, like, other stuff bizarrely do. Like, I'm cheering for Nicole Kidman and his dad to get back together at one yes. point. And it's just, like, that's the relationship I care about. But, like, yeah, I'm all about, like, big, dumb superhero films. I love it. I'll be entertained by it. I just wish Venom, this one, was more of it. And, you know, to be fair, I'm not a huge Venom fan in the comics. I don't know how, if you're a big Venom person from the comics.
No, not particularly. You know,
it's mostly cartoon, right?
Yeah, I think for me, it's mostly cartoon stuff. He was, you know, your Spider-Man show and mine is the same, right? Like, we watched the one that came out kind of concurrently with that X-Men cartoon. And I love that series a lot. And I really love Venom's portrayal in that series, and in live action, no matter what, obviously this is an improvement over the Topher Grace stuff.
Oh, and it's like, wow, yes,
it's like such it like I cannot stress enough that I would watch the movie Venom like 10 times in a row. Over like watching, you know, all of the Topher Grace Venom scenes. This isn't true. 10 times is too high. That's
very high, Josh.
I would watch Venom, the Tom Hardy Venom, twice back to back all the way through, rather than watch like the Topher Grace Venom character. I still feel like that's still too many times to watch.
What if they had like a multiverse situation and like Eddie, this Venom eats Topher Grace Venom?
Would be hilarious. Would be very, very funny. Would be very, very, very good.
Did you know, apparently, the lobster scene, I was reading this, the infamous lobster scene,
yes.
Was like ad-libbed by Tom Hardy. Like, he got there and he saw the tank and was like, Eddie Brock would get into this tank right now. So they had to like build and reinforce a tank, because otherwise it would shatter.
Yeah.
That he could sit in, and then he grabbed the fake lobster and just eating it.
Tom Hardy is so good.
I wish this was that. I wish the rest of the movie was that moment.
Tom Hardy is really committed to it. Like when he gets into it, like he does the Venom voice. There's obviously a lot of modulation that goes on there, and I believe that he had another actor who was assisting with it, just like looking
for the physical parts. Yes,
and for some of the voiceover too. Brad Venable provides additional voiceover for Venom's pain and grunting sounds, and his voice is combined with Hardy's for some dialogue, such as "We are Venom." We are Venom. And so, like, you know, there's help there, but like so much of it very clearly comes from like Hardy's like Tom Hardy-isms.
Yeah,
he's a very committed actor.
And he's great. I have nothing bad to say about what Tom Hardy did in this movie, because he went all in. His accent is so wonderful.
It's absurd.
I love it, because it's just like, it's the reverse of what we do sometimes, right? Like when American plays British and they just do like, I sweep your chimney, I will. Like, he was just like, I'm going to do that, except the reverse. I'm going to do the worst New York accent I can pull off.
Yeah.
And, like, he really went for it.
He goes for it. He goes for it hard. Much as we saw Cletus Cassidy, Woody Harrelson as Cletus Cassidy at the end of the first Venom, I am to understand that there is some sort of post-credits shenanigans for Let There Be Carnage. I am keeping my lips sealed, but I have been spoiled on it, so I know what it is.
Wow.
Yes, so I won't say anything, but we'll certainly talk about it a lot when we talk about the movie. on the next episode of Everything is Super. Kevin, anything else from Venom that you wanted to get off your chest?
just the Venom itself.
Just or the symbiote, yeah.
The spider symbol that they got off of Venom's chest because they couldn't have Spider-Man in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's... I mean, I will say, like, also, you know, it took 40... Or it took, like, an hour, like you said. But at least Venom is in this movie. There was a non-zero chance going in that I think people remembered talking about the fact that he wasn't going to go full Venom, right? Because movies notoriously do that, and the early trailers didn't show it. So people were really nervous about it, and there was a non-zero chance that it could have happened like that. Thank God they didn't do that. Thank God. Because, like, honestly, yes, as doofy as he looked, I was so happy to be like, yep, at least Venom's here, and he's just eating people. Only twice, but like that part, you know, like well worth it. I think for making that call, because like, oh, like if they did it, it would have been bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't have loved that.
We would have lost a lot of, like, I think that part, those the action wasn't good, but it, like, at least was interesting at times. I think we would have lost all of that without, like, having him go full Venom. Clearly, like, they that entire scene was inside the newspaper building, or the media building, was just very Terminator 2 inspired.
Totally.
You could very tell. A lot of that, I feel like, is very Terminator 2 inspired.
Totally.
There's good nuggets in there. I wish we got more Jenny Slate, honestly. I love Jenny Slate.
Yeah, she would have been great to have more. All right, so we'll see how Venom 2 is. We're gonna watch it. I'll be watching it a few hours after I say these words. I don't know, Kevin, when your plans are for watching the film.
Probably not today, but either like late night Monday or late Tuesday. I'm probably gonna do one of those, just like what I did with Candyman, where I went at like 10:30 at night.
Oh, did I tell you I saw Candyman?
You did.
I loved it. I loved Candyman.
When we get off the air, we should talk about it. But
Candyman was so good. It's on, where is it right now? It's on Prime.
It's on demand, for sure.
It's on Prime. I think it's available for rent, so if you're not comfortable with going to theaters.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's excellent. Really scary, but like in a way that was like really, really, really brilliantly done. And like some of the kills I thought were just like really artfully done.
Yeah, the building one.
Yeah, like there's some stuff in there that's just really, really, really great. So check out Candyman if you have not done so yet.
And you can also check out one of our series that we do.
Theater. The Post Show Recaps Theater. Grace Leader and Ariel Gomez talking movies every once in a while with special guests along the way, including an episode of Post Show Recaps Theater that Kevin guested on to talk about Candyman with Grace and Ariel. And that podcast is available. Just consult your main feed. It exists. Go back through the archives not terribly long ago. It's like 2 or 3 weeks at this point.
Yeah, so it's very close.
Check it back. Kevin, anything else? You watching anything? Why The Last Man? Have you been keeping up with it?
No, we're good. Because like I want to gather episodes and then...
I have. It's enjoyable. I'm really digging it. I'm loving
it. I'm very glad that it's keeping the momentum. I did watch something great. We're a week late, but we were on vacation. We blitzed Midnight Mass and holy
very good.
Crap. It is so good. I mean, like going from like, you know, talking about horror, like I love horror and I've been a big fan of Mike Flanagan for like a minute. I loved Dr. Sleep. I loved his movie Hush that he did way back when.
I read Dr. Sleep. I haven't watched Dr. Sleep. I should
do that. Watch it. It's so good. Cool. And of course, I loved both Haunting seasons. Midnight Mass is incredible. It might be, I think, the best thing he's done. It's so fantastically acted. It's so well paced. It's only 7 episodes on Netflix, but we watched it and we were just like all the way through. We were just like, this is incredible. It's phenomenally well done. And I know he already confirmed has more series he is doing, not like follow up. This is his, like, done in one. This is a limited series. But he loves sharing names. So he has the Midnight Club coming up next year, I think, based on Christopher Pike books. I'm so pumped. Anything Mike Flanagan does at this point, I'm in. I'm in 100%.
Kevin, have you checked out Squid Game yet?
No, that's the next one. We're just like, do we watch everyone? Squid Game?
I'm going to watch, like, Squid Game this week.
One of my friends compared this.
If you watch Squid Game, Kevin, and we both like it, maybe we'll do a patron bonus podcast. How about that?
I think I'm going to watch it because, like he said, like this is like Tiger King, it feels like. Everyone is talking about it.
Everyone's talking about
Squid
Game. It's
a cultural moment. So, like, I feel like I have to watch it.
Squid Game is the moment, yeah.
Is it real? Is it fake? I don't know. I know nothing about this thing.
We'll find out. So we'll see. No promises. Maybe we could do an Everything is Super episode that is to keep it super heroic.
Everything is squiddy.
We'll talk about the squid from Watchmen. We'll talk about Dr. Octopus.
Cephalopods.
Yes, we'll do that, and then also talk about Squid Game. I'm not actually promising that, though. That kind of sounds like a really fun episode of the podcast.
I do like octopuses. They're very smart and they're
octopi,
creepy as hell.
Right?
Octopods.
Octopi. Yeah. Octopi sounds like a pie you make with octopus.
I also love grilled octopus. I like them both as visual creatures.
Hey,
and I also like to eat them.
If there's momentum behind this, next week we're doing the What If finale and Venom Part 2. We're gonna do the sequel, Let There Be Carnage, and then the week after that for the Everything is Super. I have a slot for like feedback from What If. If there's stuff that we want to talk about, like do we want to do like some What If workshopping? But if like randomly people want us to talk about Squid Game, we could probably fit it in there. So I don't know. We could figure out exactly what that looks like, but that could be a pretty fun time at the podcast.
Can we also talk about real quick? The last thing I do want to say about is I didn't mention this, but like the name Let There Be Carnage, like slow clap yes. from me. Like, well done.
Why
like,
isn't that it is... Maximum Carnage though? That's the iconic name, no?
It's yeah, but like, come on, Let There Be Carnage.
It's pretty good.
Real perfect. Like, they're going in. Like, Maximum Carnage, I think, would have been too far. It's like, I feel like if it's just like Maximum Carnage, it's like you're taking yourself too seriously. Let There Be Carnage is just like, yeah, all right.
I bought tickets for it, and my local theater, like small theater, locally owned independent theater, like printed back my ticket to me, and it was Let There Be Carnage. And I thought that was hysterical.
Carnage comes.
I laughed really hard. I laughed really hard. All right. Follow this guy on Twitter at Kev Mahadeo. Sign up for the Post Show Recaps Patreon to listen to his other podcast, YA, which is about to be Y. Ah! As Kevin and Melissa talk about all things spooky season on their young adult fiction podcast, which is a huge hit with the patrons of Post Show Recaps. Sign up at that $5 level at patreon.com/postshowrecaps, and you not only get that podcast, but you get to come and hang out with us in the campus tour wing of the Discord, which is robust. We've got a channel for everybody to talk about their favorite shows, their favorite things, their favorite food that they're having for dinner tonight. We've got a Halloween section in there. We've got a casino that you can play in for the low, low price of $5. For the month of October. And if you sign up in time for this coming Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on October 7th, you can watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show with myself and the patrons of Post Show Recaps. Great deals all around. Consider signing up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. I'm at Ron Howard. You can talk to me on Twitter as well. Kevin, anything else?
Nope. Watch Midnight Mass, I guess, if you haven't.
All right. You've got some recommendations, folks. We'll be back next week. Let There Be Carnage!
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.